It's hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK. Thank you so much for joining us on a Monday. Coming up in a couple minutes, it's Lifetime Longhorn Alex Okafor. He's got a camp at his native Pflugerville High School coming up this weekend, or actually in a couple weekends. We'll tell you all about that. It is free to attend. You just have to make sure to register, and there are a limited number of spots for campers considering it. They have a 4th through 8th grade level that they're doing in the morning and a high school level that they're doing in the afternoon. So make sure to go to campokafor.com if you are interested in registering or you have questions to ask them about the camp. We'll find out more from Alex.
No doubt about it, campokafor.com. Some sports headlines if you missed it from the weekend. Jordan Spieth winning the Travelers Championship in Connecticut, winning in a playoff, a sudden-death playoff, beating fellow American Daniel Berger. If you haven't seen it or heard it by now, you must have been living under a rock. The chip out of the bunker to win it in the first playoff hole on 18, just a ridiculous shot. The celebration was the best part.
Were you watching it live?
I was. Okay. Spieth doing the club throw, and his caddy, Michael Greller, who's been Spieth's caddy on tour forever and one of his best friends, he threw the rake. He had a rake toss. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as it kills me to say, it was Joey Bautista, bat flip, Jose Bautista, Joey Bats. I always get those confused. I end up just confusing that. But the Jose Bautista bat flip-esque with the rake. And Michael Greller ended up taking the rake home. He took the rake that he threw to the golf course. Was like, you can keep it, man. This is awesome. He got to keep it. They did the body chest bump right outside the bunker. Awesome for
Jordan.
Not
sure how I feel about golfers doing that.
Come on, it was a huge moment. Like, if you're ever going to celebrate in golf, it's got to be a chip in to win the tournament.
I think that move has jumped the shark officially. It's time to move away from that altogether in sports.
You don't like the chest bump?
The jump up chest bump, I think that it's overdone, and I think that it's time to move on from it now that golfers have done it. Yes.
Well, when's the last time you've seen it on a golf course outside of Happy Gilmore, man? It's good to see some celebration on the course.
That's what I'm talking about. As soon as my mother is saying the term FOMO, I know that it's time for society to move on from the term FOMO.
Oh, that's different, though.
That's the exact same thing.
You know, like, Spieth is young. He's 23. His caddy's young. It's not like, if John Daly did it, that'd be awesome because he's hammered. I don't know if he could leave the ground. That dude's so big. It's not like someone on the senior tour like Freddie Couples doing that. It's young dudes.
It was an exciting moment. I will give him that. But at the same time, you've not only been there before, you've been to much greater heights before.
Yeah. So what do you think about, because after he got out of the bunker and did that little celebration, Daniel Berger, who of course was the guy he was competing against in the playoff, they gave each other a little high five, a little low five. Are you cool with that? You know, the TV broadcast. Yeah, it's good sportsmanship, but come on, aren't these dudes supposed to be competing?
You know, on the one hand, yes, they are, but I also have no problem with guys who are friendly with one another, who are rooting for one another to succeed, and sometimes you just have to give it to your opponent. They just do something that's absolutely nails, like Spieth's shot out of the bunker.
It was pretty ridiculous. So Jordan Spieth gets the win, his 10th PGA Tour win in his career, not even 24 years old, Trey.
His second this year, and he also had two last year, mm-hmm. The second of which he didn't get until, I believe, it was May of last year. So he's reached that total this year already with the chance to add on. That would be a nice bounce back for him, considering he has struggled a little bit, especially on the third and fourth days of tournaments.
Yeah, he's played so many events, it just feels like when he doesn't win one after five or six, it feels like he's going into a little bit of a funk. And he kind of did yesterday on the back nine. He had a 3-stroke lead going into the back nine. Boy, his putter just evaded him. He had a couple of drives into the woods, too, but got it done. And Trey, he's just the second golfer in the modern era. I don't know what you want to call it, the live ball era with golf, but the second golfer to win 10 PGA Tour events before his 24th birthday. Now, the first one had 15 of them, and that's Tiger Woods.
T-Gray.
Yeah, Tiger Woods is not, Jordan Spieth isn't there.
But he even beat Jack Nicklaus to 10.
He did, absolutely, before his 24th birthday. So pretty cool stuff for Jordan Spieth, and a lot of people here in Austin, Texas feel some pride. Even though he was only here for 1 year, did lead Texas to a national championship, did some great things for the university, and he's strong in support of all things UT.
Of course.
And the golf program has continued to dominate. So you got that from the weekend. Have you been watching any College World Series at all? Does college baseball get you going? I know Kevin on the afternoon show, KD's all about this stuff, but are you a fan of this at all?
Man, the officiating in college baseball is so bad that when it's not Texas, I can't do it, man. It's the same reason why I don't watch the NBA regularly anymore. Like, when you're that incompetent, then you need to find out a different way to go about that business. While I won't say I joke because I'm serious about this, while I think all of baseball could benefit from having computers call balls and strikes, College baseball needs that to legitimize itself. That's how big of a joke it is in college baseball.
Where do they find these umps, dude? These guys are terrible.
I have no idea.
Like, how are these the guys they get for the College World Series? I mean, this ump is calling ball, you know, calling strikes of balls that are in the other batter's box. Like, we thought Perry Costello was bad, and he was terrible for
awful
that Texas Long Beach State game. This dude yesterday for the Oregon State deal, Oregon State LSU, was just terrible. I mean, Oregon State couldn't get anything going. Now, LSU won by a ton. They were going to win regardless. But, man, OSU just couldn't get anything going. And then in the first time those two teams played, of course, because LSU had to beat Oregon State twice. So the first of those two wins, there was a really controversial fair foul call down the left field line that Oregon State's coach Pat Casey asked for a review, and the umps didn't review it. And it should have been called a fair ball. That would have been a couple of runs. They called it a foul, and the inning ended. So I don't know how that stuff happens. I say it all the time. College referees are worse than the pros. I mean, it makes sense. It's like the players, right? You want to work your way up to the highest leagues. But somehow in baseball, the gap between umpires at the college level, and I know people criticize umps at the major league level, but just watch a couple of weeks of college baseball and then go back to the majors. You'll think these dudes are Einsteins. Think they got perfect 20/20 vision. You think they're like Colt McCoy picking out individual leaves on trees with the way they're making calls at the big league level, because college umpires are terrible. With that being said, LSU and Florida is your final series, best 2 out of 3 starting tonight.
Yeah, you know, when one more thing on the umpiring. When it's so bad that it feels like it could be intentional, that's when it's it for me. Because at that point, it's hard to distinguish human error from a guy who's just blatantly doing a bad job for whatever reasons that we may not even totally understand. And so that's why I have a big issue with college baseball. Do you have thoughts on the championship series? Is there somebody that you think could win it all? You think it's LSU?
So LSU has won 6 College World Series titles, which is the same as Texas.
Yeah, only behind USC.
What LSU has done differently than Texas, LSU is 6-0 once they make it to the final series. Like, once they get here, and their last win was in 09 when they beat Texas, so a lot of Texas fans remember that Game 3 kind of beat down that LSU had back when it was at Rosenblatt. LSU has found a way to win once they get to this stage, but they played in the regular season. Florida took 2 of 3 in Gainesville, home for Florida, during the regular year. But man, the way LSU's playing, I mean, they just beat Oregon State, a team that was 56-4 going into those two games. They beat them twice in a row. LSU is confident. I'm calling the Tigers in a sweep. I think LSU gets it done over Florida tonight and tomorrow. Speaking of baseball, Rangers and Astros, Trey, both take 2 of 3 over the weekend. Looks like the Astros, it's hard to say they weren't figuring stuff out. They still have the best record in baseball by far, but they had a 4-series streak where they hadn't won a series.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that can be attributed to guys on the disabled list. I mean, 4/5 of the rotation has been on the DL seemingly forever. They get Lance McCullers back over the weekend. He looks pretty good. They take 2 of 3 from the Mariners. Still the best record in the American League by a long shot. And then the Rangers, of course, take 2 of 3 from Yankee Stadium. Almost trying to lose the series yesterday, but finding a way to get it done.
Yeah, no, I found it curious listening to the end of Bucky and Aaron today that Aaron was talking about the Astros possibly trying to get Keuchel back to give him an opportunity to pitch in the All-Star game. I feel like if you're a Houston fan right now, like, yeah, the All-Star nod is a nice thing, but that is of very little consequence, especially as it pertains to Dallas Keuchel and keeping him healthy. You want him pitching low-stress situations, especially when he returns. The All-Star game, sure, it doesn't matter anymore in terms of who gets home field advantage in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Still, it's just unnecessary throwing for the guy.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they rush him back just for that. I mean, maybe if he has a start or two before the All-Star break, I would still think whoever's managing that squad is going to say, you know, A.J. Hinch is going to call him up and say, all right, we don't need this guy. I guess it would be who won the American League last year? I'm drawing a blank on
Cleveland.
Baseball. Yeah, the Indians, of course. So it's probably Tito Francona will be managing.
I think that's
how it usually works. So
yeah.
I'm sure A.J. Hinch will be like, dude, just don't pitch him. Don't, you know, he could be there. He's going to be an All-Star regardless of if he comes back. The dude's 9-0 with like a 1.6 ERA. He's been one of the best pitchers in the game this year, if not the best. So he'll be an All-Star regardless. But yeah, I mean, the Astros, look, they've already got the AOS locked up. They pretty much have the best record in the American League locked up. Of course, there's 90 games. A lot can happen. But as long as they don't just have a huge collapse, nobody else in the American League record-wise is even close to the Astros. So they can be a little bit cautious with their best pitcher, Dallas Keuchel.
A couple things on the Yankees-Rangers series. What a pitching duel that was on Friday night between Yu Darvish and Masahiro Tanaka.
Yeah.
Two guys from Japan. They'd squared off in Japan on 4 different occasions and both performed whenever they went up against against the other, and that remained the case on Friday night in the Bronx.
Yeah, screw that. I mean, Masahiro Tanaka's been like the worst regular pitcher in baseball this year.
He's been terrible. I didn't realize his ERA was over six going into that
over
game.
Over like 6.5. He's been garbage, and of course he decides to show up against the Rangers, and man, Yu Darvish left with some tightness. Apparently he's fine, not going to miss a start or anything, but
it was a weird night, though. I mean, they were having to pitch in the rain for part of the time, which is always a concern, especially with someone that is a delicate flower like Yu Darvish tends to be at times.
Delicate flower.
He still pitched his ass off. Both of these lineups are capable of doing big, big things, and they were both shut down. The Yankees proved that, or the Rangers, rather, proved that throughout the weekend. They won big on Saturday and put 7 on the board quickly in the second game. And then the Yankees, of course, not only with what Aaron Judge has done this year, but up and down that lineup, they have guys who are maybe lesser known than what we're used to from Yankees teams, but they've been one of the top offenses in baseball this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This might be Joe Girardi's most impressive managerial job. They're tied for first. The Yankees are with the Red Sox. They've cooled off a lot, though. I mean, they're struggling. I think they've lost like 8 of 10 or maybe even something like 10 of 12 now at this point. But a lot of young players, and Aaron Judge, Rookie of the Year in the AL, no question. Probably the MVP in the American League if the season ended today. And it's great. You talk about Aaron Judge on the Yankees and Cody Bellinger on the Dodgers. You get two up-and-coming superstars, rookies, who are both in the MVP race, not only Rookie of the Year race, and then the two biggest markets for baseball. So baseball is a little bit of a dying sport. I don't know if I want to go dying, but obviously in the younger generations, it's not as popular. It's losing a little bit of steam. Commissioner Manfred and just people are trying to figure out how to make the game more entertaining. Well, having superstar players in these big markets with good personalities like Judge and Bellinger could be huge for baseball moving forward. But yes, the Rangers get it done. They take 2 of 3. They start a 4-gamer with Cleveland tonight, so we'll see how that goes. Astros return home. They had a pretty solid road trip. They take the night off tonight. So,
and this is about as healthy as the Rangers have been all year now that they're getting Cole Hamels back, so we'll see what happens going forward.
14 blown saves, Trey? Is that the number you mentioned earlier?
14. Not all of them in the ninth inning, mind you. You can blow a save, I think, anytime after the fifth inning if you give up a lead of... usually it's 3 runs or less. It can be more than that, depending on if a reliever enters the game with a 4-run lead, how many guys are on base. But yeah, 14 blown saves, which leads the AL by far. Just think about this. If they had half the blown saves, which would maybe be considered average in this league, they would be leading in the wild card right now.
They'd have the second best record in the American League. I mean, look, the Astros are 13 games ahead of the Rangers. Now, of course, you can't expect 0 blown saves, but if the Rangers had 0 blown saves, they'd be right there with the Astros. Sam Dyson was terrible. He blew a game for the Giants over the weekend, so now they're getting some of that.
Oh, Dyson did. I didn't see that.
Matt Bush has also sucked. I'm a little surprised that Jeff Bannister threw him out there for the ninth inning yesterday. But
Jeff Bannister, I really question his ability to manage a bullpen. This has been going on for a couple of years now because Alex Claudio, who is arguably the team's best reliever this year, went into yesterday's game and pitched to two batters. He pitched at the end of, I think it was the seventh inning, which, okay, on certain situations, maybe a guy does only face two batters. But at the start of the eighth, you have a lefty coming to the bat, and Kella comes into the game and immediately gives up a ground rule double. Why not pitch Claudio right there? He's effective against both sides of the plate. He's been able to keep all hitters at bay this year for the most part, but you put Kella in there. Now, it ended up working out for them yesterday. Kella pitched around that trouble and pitched in a pretty gutsy way, too. He may end up being the next option if they decide to go away from Matt Bush in the closer position, but Jeff Bannister, it feels like he is costing this team games here and there with his mismanagement of the bullpen.
Yeah, that's not an unpopular take right there. At the end of the day, it's the players who need to go out there and get the job done. But there have been some question marks. And Alex Claudio, you said it. He's been the best reliever for the Rangers. He throws like 68 miles an hour on the gun. Looks like you throwing the first pitch at the Round Rock Express game.
I think my first pitch was more like 85.
Yeah, divided by 6, I think, is a little bit more fair. So there's your baseball update. No go from Alex Okafor, unfortunately. We will try to reconnect with them a little bit later. But you want to hit some Texas football, Trey? You got something for me?
I'm going to clean off the Specs text line before we do that. Specs text line, of course, is 337-3776. If you'd like to participate, you can also follow us on Twitter. He's at Brad Kellner. I am at Courtesy Wave. Our great producer, Zach, is at Soccer is a Sport, even though soccer is not a sport. We're asking for your video blitzes as well, either through Facebook or Twitter. Just post the video, hashtag it with hashtag video blitz or horn video blitz. We'll be happy to check that out at the end of the week. We put together together a compilation of the best three or four videos, and you will win a prize as well, too. So we look forward to receiving those videos. But the Specs text line, we released the new show graphic last hour. Facebook Live did, as a matter of fact. I just tweeted out a picture of the graphic, and it's receiving some response now. Jay Solis says that I look like an albino. I certainly do look like an albino. Left Testy says, I saw it on Facebook Live. BK, you look like Hillary Swank in that graphic, which cannot be a good thing.
Hillary
Somebody else
Clinton?
Agrees with the Beavis and Butthead.
I gotta be wearing pantsuits now. I need to check my email server.
The adult version of Beavis and Butthead is what that picture looks like, according to some. And this guy says, Brad is Cornholio.
Yeah.
And somebody else is responding to my Tetris claim that you can learn a lot of life lessons from Tetris. I agree with that.
Yeah,
it doesn't take that much brain function, by the way.
You know how I feel about life lessons. I don't care. I know everything I need to know. I've learned some things over the years. I don't need life lessons from building blocks. What do you think? I'm going to be on the street and someone's going to be like, yo, how do I finagle this little piece into this little piece? I'm not going to need to do that.
Hair of the Dog says that picture is hilarious. BK, you look like a young Kevin Bacon.
Ooh.
I like that one.
I'll take that.
Young Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon's had a pretty solid career.
T-Bone asks if you were portrayed as being sick in the show graphic.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much look sick.
Not physically ill. Maybe sick in the head.
That is gross,
BK,
man.
I've yet to see a beard on your face in these Facebook Live videos. Stop looking like you're 5 years old.
Got the stash going, don't I?
Yeah, it's a wheezy stash right now. If we're going to call it anything, it's a wheezy mustache above your top lip.
I've been growing this for months, so I don't really know what else I could do there.
I will admit that I looked last week and I saw that you had, I don't know if we can call it 5 o'clock shadow. Maybe we just call it June shadow. Like, you've been growing it since January 1 and it's finally
since
June.
No shave November. I haven't shaved since November.
But you shaved all that away except for that wheezy mustache. It's over your top lip now. Mm. You look like you shouldn't be anywhere close to an elementary school. You may or may not drive a windowless van. And it's possible that this date that's not a date that you're going on tonight could end up in a trailer park, too.
Not,
so
ooh, thank
good
you
luck
for
with
that.
The young lady
well,
that's going out on that one.
I hope not. I think she is driving. So maybe I should decide to drive so I don't end up at a trailer park. That'd be a problem.
And by the way, whoever is saying that if you can't do that celebration for a PGA win, you can't celebrate winning a sand volleyball match ever. One exception is if you get gold at the Olympics. Guess what? Volleyball is a sport. Golf is
Whoa.
A game that people play. Volleyball is a sport, and you can most certainly
what?
Smoke weed before you play volleyball, but you can also smoke weed before you play golf, and you also have the right to jump up and chest bump your partner to celebrate a big point one on the sand.
Yeah, you're talking about physical contact with your partner, and you're saying golf isn't a sport? Come on.
Jordan Spieth just physically contacted his caddy.
Yeah,
that's not even a teammate. Yeah, they're wearing collared shirts and slacks.
And they won a big...
sports outfit is that? That's an outfit that you wear playing a game.
Dude, they won like over $1 million. You're saying they can't celebrate after taking home that much cheese?
You're wearing a collared shirt right now. You know what wearing a collared shirt is good for when you and I go play a game after this? When we go play Monopoly together. Not if we go out on the sand volleyball court or hit the hardwood, find some basketball, some pickup basketball. To play. You're not wearing a collared shirt to play some pickup basketball
What's
with me.
What's wrong with the collared shirt?
There's
man.
Nothing
it's
wrong with
Rock
it. I'm just
Express. I got this for free.
I'm just telling you, you're not wearing that collared shirt if you're actually playing a sport. If you want to go out and play golf with me, sure, you can wear the collared shirt. It's required at most places, by the way.
So tennis is not a sport, in your opinion, either? A lot of dudes wear collared shirts on the tennis court.
Tennis...
Now, you and I agree. Look, soccer's not a sport, and they wear collared shirts.
Soccer's not a sport.
Okay.
Tennis can be considered a sport. A lot of the ways people play tennis, not a sport.
Wow. But like professional tennis is a sport.
Well,
you
let's be very clear about
Jordan Spieth isn't an athlete.
Let's be very clear about tennis. How many geriatrics play tennis?
Who is geriatric?
he starred in the TV show Seinfeld.
Jerry, I don't know how to spell that, dude. What is geriatric? Is that an actual word or something?
Geriatrics are senior citizens or really old people. People that are in their 80s are playing tennis with regularity. That's why I have a hard time believing that tennis is an outright sport.
You ever been to the Y? There's all kinds of old people playing basketball, man. The JCC, they've got a league for old dudes.
I would argue that JCC maybe lends to a discussion that basketball isn't always a sport.
Come on, Tony Romo used to be in the JCC League.
Why'd they let him into the JCC? He's not Jewish.
Yeah, but he plays his membership fees. Rodrigue Beaubois, remember Roddy B?
Yeah.
He was a part of the league for a little bit.
Is he still in the NBA?
No, dude, that dude hadn't been in the NBA in years. That guy sucked.
He had so much potential when he first got into the league.
I always hated him. You're right. He had a couple of, he had like a 40-point game out of the blue. He's playing back in native France for Baskonia of the Liga ACB, not in the NBA.
All right.
Is that a sport? Liga ACB, are you cool with that?
I don't know what
that
is,
man. Come on, man. What are you going to say, NASCAR is not a sport next?
Chuck Azulu says, wait. Sand volleyball is a sport and soccer isn't? I'd love to see you two yahoos get destroyed in any sport by an elite soccer player.
In any sport? I bet I could take him in ping pong. Does ping pong count? I'm great at ping pong, baby. I could take any soccer player in that.
Is ping pong a sport? That would mean beer pong is also a sport. I'm not sure to call ping pong a sport.
Soccer players, like, there's some I'm sure can play basketball, but anytime you see a video of a soccer player playing basketball, he has no idea what he's doing. I feel confident.
Go tell rugby players they don't play a sport because of the collar. Look, there are exceptions to the rule. Exceptions to the rule. While soccer may not be a sport because they wear collars and are flopping around all over the grass like fish out of water, what, Zach?
My idea for a sport is if you can eat a hamburger while you're playing it, it's not a sport. Bowling is not a sport.
You can eat a hamburger on any sport.
Who is holding a hamburger while they're bowling?
I just have this picture because I grew up, I went to McCallum High School, so Dart Bowl's over by there. So
right
I have the
there.
Idea of just people eating a hamburger while bowling because it's a one-handed sport.
While they're rolling. Well, they got the two-handed bowlers like Jason Belmonte, the Australian sensation who bowls with two hands.
What?
Hashtag love the lanes, baby.
Oh, man. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm okay with the granny-style free throw, the underhanded free throw attempt, especially for a lot of these guys who can't even hit 50% because their hands are entirely too big for the basketball. Yeah. I'm not okay with the two-handed bowl. I'm on record with that
now. What if you're good at it? What if you're like a pro two-handed bowler? You're making money because you can bowl with two hands.
Bowl like a damn human being. I have one of the best professional bowler in the world, whatever that means. I have his
Norm
phone number.
Duke?
We'll try and get him on the show.
Who are you talking to? Norm Duke?
It's Sean something. I know you're going to be shocked by this. He's from Chicago. But Zach, I agree with you on that. The hamburger or the beer thing, like darts, not a sport. Pool, like billiards, not a sport. There are certain things that if you can get drunker while doing it and get better, it's probably not a sport.
Is it Pete Weber? Trying to think of all the bowlers that I know.
It's Sean something. Hold on. Let me look at my
Sean
phone right
Salisbury.
Now. Sean Salisbury? It's
Duke
not
can tell
Sean
you about
Salisbury.
The MyPillow.
Talking about somebody who is able to drink and get better about things, or that used to be the case. I'm sorry, Sean. That was very, very
long
shot of me to take.
He's a sponsor of the show or something.
It's not Sean Jensen. He's a writer.
All right, this is enough bowling talk.
Sean Pamphlon is a filmmaker.
Sean Penn?
Sean Rash? Yeah, Sean Rash is the guy's name.
Oh,
Sean
Rash.
I can try and give him a call.
Yeah, man, he's his PBA stud.
He's one of the tops.
All right, well, I don't know how we got to the PBA tour.
We just had to talk a lot of sports for a long segment. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Now, it did devolve into
our
current conversation.
This is what you caused, man.
Come on, Alex Okafor. We're still going to support your football camp. Yeah. It's an awesome football camp. We'll maybe try and get him back on later in the week.
No doubt about it. All right, there's a smorgasbord of randomness. When we come back, we'll go even more off the rails. We'll have Shooting the Bull. And I promise in our last segment, we will get to these Maryland football stats. 68 days away from Texas, Maryland, September 2nd, 2017 at DKR. Found some interesting numbers regarding the Maryland Terrapin football team. We'll get to those later in the show. But Shooting the Bull next. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on the Horn. Down to the end of the day, the clock ticks life away. So unreal.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, it is a mashup Monday. Zach, what are you playing right now?
They call this In the Sensual End.
This is Linkin Park for sure, mixed with...
Can you get it?
Sensual, what is it?
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, what, Sensual Seduction, that Snoop Dogg song? This is terrible.
Yeah,
man.
Turn this down. Specs text line is blowing up right now, 337-3776. Come on, guys. Folks that live in trailer parks are some of your most avid listeners. Perhaps.
Hey, you're the one who's got beef with the trailer parks. I ain't got no beef with them. Looks like they have a good time out there.
I don't have beefs with trailer parks in general. What I have beefs with are those residents of trailer parks who are rocking the wheezy mustaches like what you have right now, who are responsible for pedophilia and kidnapping and all sorts of other very terrible things. What did I just get a yellow card for?
That's a red. You're insulting people, and we're gonna get called into the office by someone that lives in a trailer park saying that we hurt their feelings.
They don't have phones in there, though, right?
That's true. They're gonna have to send a letter by snail mail.
Oh, I mean, I've never.
But then
been...
we're assuming that they know how to write letters. So.
Okay.
Jeez. I mean, I've never been to a trailer park, but I've had a couple of RV trips, man. I think I've lived like those. I don't know what to call them. Hooligans? Is that derogatory? I've lived like them before. It's a good time.
Hooligan is very derogatory. Apologize right now.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I apologize.
All right. Specs text line also includes this one. Fishmonger Mikey says, is deep sea fishing a sport?
Ooh.
I think it's more of a sport than
what
soccer
do you think,
is.
If you're doing it for competition. If you always talk about, you know, not being able to drink out there. That qualifies it not being a sport or not.
You're fighting an animal potentially to the death. So I think it qualifies as more of a sport than ping pong.
Like the Bassmaster Classic, they put that stuff on TV.
Somebody else is asking about handball, whether or not it's a sport. I don't know what handball is.
Handball is you play it in a racquetball court, and you just don't have rackets. Like, you use your hand.
You use a fleshlight.
No fleshlight. There's no fleshlight involved. That's fleshball. Handball, you just use your hand, man. You hit it against the wall. It bounces once, and it goes back to you, and you hit it with like you're serving with your hand.
Oh,
time.
My gosh. Fleshball. That was one of the best things you've ever said on this show. Thank you for that.
Yeah, the ball hurts, though, by the way. Handball kind of hurts.
Hey, sports Nazis, is poker a sport?
Easy
no, poker is not a sport. Come on.
Easy with the N-word right there, by the way. That's my version of the N-word, being the lone Jew here.
Nazi?
Yeah. Easy on that. Poker, no, not a sport. I do enjoy watching the World Series of Poker. I actually do kind of like watching once we get towards the end, in the very beginning when all the jabronis are in there. But I kind of enjoy watching a little bit of World Series of Poker action.
It's an enjoyable thing to watch. That doesn't necessarily make it a sport, though. It's like
not
a spelling bee is not a sport. It's on ESPN every year.
On the spelling bee.
Spelling bee is not a sport. And we've also floated the new show graphic today. You can go to my Twitter page at Courtesy Wave. I tweeted it out a little bit earlier. We also Facebook Live Brad Kellner's reaction because he looks
garbage.
A little bit like Adult Butthead in the picture. And some people have had some very cruel things to say to you about that picture. But somebody says with regards to you being compared to Hillary Swank. Hey, BK, Hillary Swank is awesome, and she's got a great rack, too.
Oh,
so you
nice.
Got that working for you.
Oh, I thought it was Hillary Clinton. My bad.
No, Hillary Swank, the actress.
All right, yeah, I don't know who that is, but that's pretty cool. I like racks of things, racks of lamb.
Is Hi-Li a sport? Yeah, Hi-Li is a sport.
What is Hi-Li?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know how to begin Hi-Li? To describe this. You have, like, this half circle
right.
that you're throwing a really hard ball against
what?
A wall
what country?
And the ball
what's the language of origin please
the language of origin is Venezuelan.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes. The word itself or the words itself are spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I.
Okay,
but it's pronounced Hi-Li. And it was very popular in Florida in the 1970s, and it gained some national appeal
Florida.
From there.
Florida. Leave that stuff in Florida. We don't want to mess with those people over there.
Uncle Rico lives in a trailer. The hell is Uncle Rico?
Uncle Rico from, Napoleon? You haven't seen Napoleon Dynamite.
No, I think I refuse to
I think
at
that's
this
who
point.
He's talking about. Uncle Rico, the guy, how much you want to bet I can throw a football over them mountains? That means nothing to you. We might have to watch that. We might have to.
I'm just going to warn you about this. I've had too many people tell me it's the greatest movie of all time, and I've also had people tell me that there's no cussing in it. One of the things that I enjoy in my comedy is cussing.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things are already working against this movie.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's the greatest movie of all time, but it came out like when I was in middle school. I thought it was pretty funny. Now, two of my sisters think it's like the funniest movie ever. I'm not putting it there, and I guess there are other people out there who agree. But it's very lame and dry. I don't know. It's all right. Whatever. You should see it.
Speaking of lame and dry, we have somebody on the line right now who's not either of those things.
Oh, come on.
It is the great Bucky Godbolt from The Morning Show along with Aaron Hogan. Buck, what's going on?
Listen, I took John Makovic to highlight the same time I took him to are donuts in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. High lie is very similar to a racquetball. You know, one bounce, you got to catch it off a wall, and then you throw it. And at the facility it's played in is called a fronton.
A wonton soup?
Pitch, a fronton with an F.
Okay. Did you play?
You have, to be, no. If that ball ever hits you, when they swing that ball out of, I forget the deal that they throw it with, it's like a little hooked.
Yeah.
Half an arm, but if you ever get hit in the head with that, you're a goner.
The ball is literally moving at more than 100 miles an hour. High lie is definitely a sport.
Yeah, you've got to be pretty athletic to do that. But they kind of cheat in that in Florida, so you got to pick the guy who's cheating.
How's that?
The way they drop easy catches that they should make, they drop them depending on how the scores are. So I've always thought that a high lie, I mean, it was kind of fixed, but if you're betting on the guy that's, you know, not fixing it, it's a good thing.
What was it was it an entertaining sport to watch?
Awesome sport to watch.
Wow.
And did you exploit the hell out of Makovic betting with him on the high lie guys? Like, you knew which guy was the point shaver?
Makovic was better at the dog track when I took him to the dogs in Fort Lauderdale. He really had a good time when he was with me. He didn't have a choice. So.
Yeah, you took him to all these topless places, man. You were showing him the time of his life.
We went to one place, and we had coffee.
Makovic's getting that business done in his hotel room, according to Bucky, at least one time. Hey, like, he's racking up the pay-per-view bill.
That was me. Don't let that out. That was me. Everybody asked about who. I stayed in his room. I stayed in his suite for 9 years. On Friday nights, I stayed with the team. So I had the big suite and all the booze and all the everything. So I don't know. I hit a certain channel that stayed on for like 24 hours. And, then when he would leave the place, it would be under his name. And they used to go, oh, my God, the head coach of Texas is watching porn all night long.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, Buck, was there cream in that coffee at the R-rated donut shop?
That's what the ladies would say to you when you sat at the counter. Would you like cream?
Oh,
God. I even got a kick out of it. He didn't talk to me for about a month. Yeah, but it was all right.
Oh, that is great. That is great. All right, Buck.
High lie, it's cool. It's a sport.
All right, you're the man. Thanks for the call. All right. High lie is a sport. I still don't know what it is, and apparently you can die from it. If you can die from it, that ups your chances of being a sport, right?
Agreed.
If you can die on the field of play.
Agreed. Yeah, that's why I have to consider deep-sea fishing a sport, too. All right, let's hit shooting the bull real quick.
Shooting the bull.
We don't have a long one today, but it is that time of the show where we pay ode to our former show, which was called Shooting the Bull. It means we talk about all sorts of things, sports related and non. And I'm starting out today, BK, with a scenario that has not only occurred over the weekend, but has been happening on more than one occasion now with my two-year-old, soon-to-be three-year-old, Vivian.
Uh-oh.
And so this leads us to Brad Kellner's Parental Advice of the Week.
Brad Kellner's Parental Advice of the Week, sponsored by Dying Alone.
So you have been very honest about your desire to die alone, and so that's why I like to get your perspective on these parental issues that come up for me, because this is my first time dealing with this. I've got a soon-to-be three-year-old now and a soon-to-be one-year-old. Congratulations to Calvin Elling for crawling for the first time this weekend.
Congrats
as well.
Congrats to you, man.
Thank you. It was a very proud moment. Like, whenever he did it, I scooped him up, and I was, like, hugging him, and I was expressing my joy with him, and he was like, dude, get me down.
Yeah,
I want to get
crawl.
Back to the crawling thing.
Yeah.
So my daughter Vivian is becoming much less shy around people. So now, she's still shy enough. It's not like she's going up and talking to complete strangers. But when there are people that she's comfortable with, her aunt and uncle, my brother and my sister-in-law, or her grandparents, or good friends of ours, like Kevin and Chad, although she didn't do this the other day when she came and visited in studio, she'll come into a room, will come into wherever the adults are standing, and she will lift her shirt up and say, "Boo!" Boobies. This is not something your mom or I have taught her. This is something she's picked up on her own. So what should I do about this?
What is she watching? You let her watch TV or get on the computer? I mean, how did she figure out what that is?
Right now, it's Sesame Street and Texas Rangers baseball games.
Has Emily Jones done that this year on the Rangers broadcast?
She watching the same TV that Bucky's watching? What's going on?
Not that I'm aware of either of those things.
She's been watching the 04 Super Bowl halftime show with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake?
Yeah. So what are your advice to that?
You just got to hope that's a phase. I mean, I guess you got to tell her, like, honey, you know, you can't do that in public. That's something that's funny at home, but you can't do that around other people. T- tell her like that's a bad word? Would that incite her to say it more if you tell her it's a bad word?
What I've started doing is I've just got a pocket full of beads with me, and anytime she does that, I just throw her beads.
Oh, well played. Will you bring out like the whip? She used the belt yet? Is she old enough to do that?
Don't use the belt. We do use the cage in the basement, though. That's a very popular teaching tool.
Well played. All right. What do you want to do? I got two. We're out of time, really, so I got two quick choices. All right. Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas Cowboys running back, will grace the ESPN magazine body issue this year, and he might, in fact, be on the cover. They were showing this a lot on SportsCenter this morning. Dude, the dude has tree trunks for legs. It's unbelievable. They had him jumping on a trampoline. They had him putting footballs in front of, you know, where his junk would be. But Zeke Elliott, what does that do? Does that do anything for you? What about Prince Fielder? Who's your favorite body issue guy of all time?
I'm not a big body issue guy. I never treated that like it was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and I know some people
what about the
are
women's
disappointed
women?
In that.
Like, I think Caroline Wozniacki is going to be in the bodysuit this year. She's hot. Tennis player.
Okay.
Like, is that, but this isn't something you're just going to pick up off the shelf. This isn't for you.
I mean, if I'm looking at something like that, if I'm going nudity, I'm going full-bore nudity.
Yeah, I don't know what people get a kick out of that, you know?
It's, you know, there's a shock value there. There's inherent shock value, and ESPN has done a good job of promoting that over the years. And you're right, whenever it was Prince Fielder that decided to go naked, you have to take a look at that just to see the potential train wreck there.
It's a big dude.
It wasn't that bad, though.
Yeah, I know you're gay.
Yeah, I was intrigued. I think everyone should be intrigued.
I think we got to have Bucky recreate that photo.
No.
Ooh, I like that.
He would like that, which is a problem. We can't have that.
Well, we should have all of the Horn hosts recreate the ESPN body issue photos.
What, like the old Ether Station photo that they have back when Mark Honig and Bucky and Seaway and
yeah,
Lee
but
and those
guys were all
there.
Wearing boxers. That was cheating. We really have to be naked.
Oh, all right.
Maybe like wearing a sock or something.
Are we losing a bet? Where's the sock going to be? What part of the body is the sock going
to
be on?
Speaking of losing bets, tomorrow you do get to drink the kale juice during the first segment of the show. Please make sure to tune in for that. It's also going to be Facebook Live as well. And you have to finish the juice by the end of the segment. It's going to be either a large or extra large.
Come on.
I think Juiceland only goes up to large, but it is a big drink. It's like a big gulp size drink.
It can't be the tall or whatever the smallest one is at Starbucks. How does that make sense where the tall is the small one?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not going to be the tall version. It's going to be the largest version that Juiceland sells—a kale-based juice.
God.
Looking forward to that.
Put
and then
some
on Wednesday,
Terry's burger in there, please. Blend it up in there.
Zach and I each get 3 tennis balls to peg at you.
3.
Now we can only hit you once. So if we do hit you flush with one of those balls, then our turn is over with. But we're going to be Facebook Living during a commercial break. We're going right out here.
Oh.
We're going right out here, and we're throwing tennis balls at you.
Oh, you're doing it outside.
You need to wear
least.
Shorts that day.
Catch me outside.
And
how
you also
that?
Shouldn't be wearing like a Bill Cosby level sweater or something. It's got to
right?
be a thin shirt.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah, it's just going to be a polo. Is that okay?
That yep. works for me.
Yup. Thanks, Danielle Brigoli. God, we got to get her on the show at some point. American hero. All right.
Who?
The girl who said, catch me outside.
Oh,
how about
yeah.
That?
You showed me yep. her.
Anytime we talk about puberty or growing older, I think she needs to be mentioned. All right, that's shooting the bull for the day. When we come back, I've been promising it all show, some interesting numbers regarding Texas's first opponent, 68 days away, the Maryland Terrapins. We'll talk about the Terps on the other side. It's Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn. Whoever you're a fan of, LeVar Ball. Bruce Jenner, whoever you look up to. What is this?
Hell, Ron Hubbard almighty.
All right, so this is that Smash Mouth song.
What is this? Smash Mouth and what, Zach?
You guys haven't picked it up yet. Doobie Brothers, guys.
Oh,
come on.
My God.
I don't know if it's just these headphones. I can't hear the background
Dude,
music very well.
You don't want to hear this stuff. This is terrible.
It really doesn't sound
Mash
very good.
Mashup Monday. Can we switch to like Mixtape Monday? Go back to, you know, old songs that were only on mixtapes.
That might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. Stoppage time, by the way, Zach. How much stoppage time do we have on this final segment
Let's
here?
Let's do 3 minutes today.
Oh, three
minutes of stoppage
wow,
time.
Well, Seattle Sounders needed 4 minutes last night
to
score
their goal.
Yeah,
let's not score a goal in stoppage time today, okay, guys? guys. Come on.
We're going to stop any goal attempts in the 3 minutes of stoppage time that we have here in the final segment. And we're receiving a lot of response on the Specs text line, not only in terms of what is a show, what is not a show. People are giving me advice on what I should do with the kiddo. Somebody says to invest in Mardi Gras, specifically the beads. Thank you very much for that, 311 Chris.
The age of two. I mean, the way we look in that graphic, it looks like we'd be interested in a two-year-old lifting her shirt and saying boobies, the way we look in that graphic that Ray made over there.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to show her that and see what she has to say about that this evening.
She doesn't know me. I mean, she's seen me once or twice, but...
she's met you before.
Yeah, but I'm curious your thoughts.
She calls you Uncle Brad now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm honored.
Well, she hears you pretty frequently because my sister-in-law who watches our kids and then my wife, whenever she's off work, they listen to the show.
Dude, I've never been a niece before.
You've never been a niece?
Never had a niece.
Okay.
An uncle before. There it is. Still not a niece. That's, all right.
Somebody says Doc Ellis pitched no-hitter on acid, so even real sports can include drugs and sometimes maybe alcohol.
That's cool. That's one of the greatest moments in the history of sports
There are exceptions to the rule, but the norm with bowling, with darts, with pool, a.k.a. billiards, is that you're drinking or imbibing on something illicit while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, billiards? Is anyone texting in? Speaking of billiards, are you cool with that being a sport?
It's not a sport. It's a game.
Okay, that's fine. I can deal with that. Trick shot pool is pretty cool.
Is foot golf a sport?
No.
Foot golf
is not a sport. Disc golf is not a sport. I'm sure there's texters out there. By the way, I bombarded the text line. The text line is all you. This is your doing right now. So if people are ripping me, I would have no idea. The text line is a Trey Elling experiment. Now I'm out.
Vaping Donnie says, I don't do the mustache only either. It looks a little bit sexual assaulty.
Thank you.
It does.
That's what I was going for.
Little pedo-y.
God, I'm excited to see the kind of reaction I get tonight when I go out in public for the first time with this.
Chucka Zulu says, real soccer fans hate flopping more than we do. Zach, is that true? Do you hate flopping?
Absolutely, 100% true.
Why is it so prevalent in the sport then if so many fans hate it?
Because think of the advantage that you get. That's the problem with it is you can't like make it so that people don't want to do it on the field because if you get a penalty... It's almost an assured goal.
But, like, why would you flop then outside of the box? The real thing is...
Because set pieces are a huge advantage. Yeah.
Okay, why would you flop? Why would you stay flopped? Stay flopping on the ground after the ref blows the whistle. Make the call. Why don't you just get up? You got what you wanted. Acting is over.
This show, I think, has had more phrasing moments than any other ever produced on the horn ever.
That's all right.
That's a good point.
All right, any more? Should we hit this Texas piece?
No, we've got a lot of Texas, as a matter of fact. We can talk Texas, Maryland tomorrow. That's something that will remain relevant for the next 67 days.
People have been waiting for this all year.
Grant Pembroke says, I wouldn't use the phrase bad word or shame the daughter, but I would use it as a segue to talk about the private parts of our body. We generally keep private parts private. No one has the right to touch our private parts without permission, etc. Brad, hold your nose to block sense of taste and just chug the kale juice tomorrow. Thank you, Grant. That's some very sage advice there on all counts. We appreciate that.
Yeah, that's going to be gross. Now, that's a little young to have the conversation, right? Growing up in school, it was like fifth grade where they showed me what everybody called the video. Right? When they first showed you, now you kind of started to know this type of stuff, but they showed you everything about your body and they showed you things about the female body. Like they separated the guys in fifth grade and the guys were in one room and the girls were in another room.
Oh, yeah.
They showed you the other, you know, genitalia and how all that stuff works and how the human body works from the other side. That was a huge deal.
We just watched the 1970s remake of Romeo and Juliet where they showed boobs in that. And they showed that to the entire 7th grade class.
7th grade is okay, right? Everybody's seen some boobs by 7th grade.
I think so. The problem with our 2-year-old, or maybe not a problem, but my wife and I have been naked around her. Inevitably, she's going to end up in the bathroom with us when one of the two of us are naked. And so she does know what the parts of the body are called. And she knows that her younger brother has a penis. She knows that she has a vajayjay, as does her mother. And so she has basic understandings of those things. It's just a matter of, we don't know where she got the boobies thing from. Because that's something, like somebody's joking about me watching Girls Gone Wild.
Whoa.
But... really, she hasn't been exposed to anything like that before. Of even if my wife is saying these are my, ha-has. I don't know how she refers to them to my daughter, but whenever she's breastfeeding my son, my daughter will ask questions, and so she's very honest with her. She works in the medical profession, so she knows how to discuss things that don't have the tinge of immaturity that you and I are discussing them with now. She can discuss them like a grown human being with her daughter.
Now, does your daughter not breastfeed anymore? Is 2 years old like the age of stopping? Because I was kind of hoping you'd have one of those like 16-year-old kids who is still breastfed. That would be awesome.
She's almost three, but I'll be very honest right now. We have a nephew.
How do we get here?
My sister, my wife's sister, has a 2-year-old son who still breastfeeds.
Wow.
And I don't want to see that get to the point that you don't watch Game of Thrones, do you?
I've seen 2 seasons.
So I think it's like season 3 or 4 where they introduce it's like cousin slash
who's getting breastfed?
He's,
is it Khaleesi?
He's like 10 or 11 years old, still going up to mom and breastfeeding.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
creepy.
I think I've seen that.
Okay, so that's creepy. We don't want it to get to that level. I'm kind of the mindset that as soon as the kid is
Lannisters.
Walking and can walk up and just like one stop shop right there, that's probably time to move on from that whole process.
At that point, I can watch, right? Come on, if your kid's getting up there.
At that point,
I can watch.
At that point, you can watch.
If you're in a public
you can
place
stare.
And you got a 10-year-old just walking up and be like, time to eat. I can watch, no? Doing like the little Zeke Elliott thing, like eating. We eating, baby. At that point, it is okay for me to watch somebody breastfeed.
You're right about that. We've got one more that here.
I mean, I'm looking at our note card here. I've got Maryland football written down. What do we get here? How do we do this? This happens every show.
Where
Come
did that
on.
Disc golf text message go? Dang it. somebody said.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
We need some PEDs this morning.
Somebody said that they were playing disc golf and they threw an errant disc and it ended up in the woods and it hit a raccoon and broke the raccoon's neck. So because it was actually a matter of life and death between man and beast, that disc golf is now considered a sport.
No.
Again, I would say you're high and exception to the rule there.
You're high. Yeah. Well, also, it wasn't a human dying. I don't care if any animals die. This isn't like the movie Jackass where you have to put a little disclaimer, no animals were harmed in the making of this video. Come on. A human's got to die. No human has ever died playing disc golf.
Bullfighting is a sport.
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I don't know if I'd bullfight, man.
Don't bullfight.
I think I would bull ride. I think I would ride a bull. I really do.
Dude, you would get yourself killed riding a bull.
Why?
What?
Well, I mean, if it doesn't step on, like, how often does it step on the guy?
It's not just about stepping on. Speaking of, there's a video floating around social media now showing, I think it's like a deer taking out a giraffe by taking out its legs.
Whoa.
I told you people a long time ago, I can take a giraffe out. This is proof. You hit it in the legs and you drive through the tackle. That's how you take a giraffe down. These giraffes are not as tough as everybody's making them out to be.
Yeah, but they're fast. Like the force. You think you could just go low? That thing's skinny bones would break your collarbone.
You go low. I'm trying to wear pads here. I'm probably dressed like a football player when I'm doing so to protect the noggin and also protect my shoulders, but you can take a giraffe out by hitting it in the legs.
All right, that's...
I'm really close because so many people talk trash to me whenever I propose this idea. I'm close to making a bet with you because there is an animal
wow.
sanctuary here in Austin where I could go try and prove this point.
What, are you going to get a dead one? Oh, sanctuary. Nah, I thought you said, all right, keep going.
There's a bet to be made that I could get the giraffe on the ground and the giraffe's not going to fight me back. Giraffes are not tough creatures. I know you think they are because they're big. They are big, I'll give you that. They're also not tough creatures, especially if you get them to the ground.
But if you came after them, you don't think they'd do any sort of self-defense. They just let you take them to the ground.
If you watch this video of this...
hundreds of pounds. What do you mean you just tackle them?
If you watch this video of this giraffe getting taken to the ground by the deer, the giraffe is stunned. It doesn't know what to do. It's terrified because it's been knocked to the ground and the deer just runs off.
Dude.
I would be the deer in that video.
Male giraffes are 2,600 pounds.
Maybe it's like
Look at yourself. Are you kidding me? All right, we're continuing this tomorrow. We're doing this tomorrow. We're talking Texas football. I promise we'll get to those Maryland numbers. Unbelievable, fighting a draft. All right, we're out of here. For the production wizard, the Greek freak, Zach Christo across the glass. For my man, the draft fighter, the sultan of cynicism, the vomit king, Trey Elling across the table. I am BK. We'll be back to get a pop at the same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.